Hey, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2023, Lord willing, I think we're still on track. We'll make it from Genesis to Leviticus. Today we have it's one that I'm going to probably have a hard time pronouncing and reading through. We'll see how that goes. Let's have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is true, historically accurate, and is food for our souls. Father, we pray that you would now please nourish us and teach us. Help us to understand your word, trust your promises, and grow in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Exodus chapter 6, beginning at verse 14, and we'll read down through verse 27. Here we go. These are the heads of their fathers' houses. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanoch, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben. And the sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shuel, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137. The sons of Gershon were Libni and Simi, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 139. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of Levi according to their generations. Now Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife. And she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri. And the sons of Uzziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Zithri. Aaron took to himself Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nashon, as wife. And she bore him Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah were Asir, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korathites. Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Putiel as wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites according to their families. These are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies." These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. Well, that's an interesting genealogy, right? Why is it in the Bible? Right, we need to ask ourselves, what's this about? What's the best verse to summarize this, and what are we called to do? Right, God is establishing here the historical veracity that Moses and Aaron aren't a myth. Now, I don't know what the conversation looked like between God and Moses as he was receiving this revelation from the Lord and he was writing it down, but I could imagine years later, you know, zoom forward a couple thousand years, and God knows that there's going to be some scholars in some seminary somewhere who have too big of heads, and they're going to say that Moses is just some mythological person instead of realizing these are real people with real ancestries, and they really were in Egypt, and the Exodus really did happen. God gives us genealogies often to show us that there's a line, a direct line that people who were living could make to their ancestors. It was a real heritage that they had. They were truly children of the patriarchs. They were inheritors of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And here it is specifically narrowing in, zooming in, telescoping, you know, telescopic zooming here onto Moses and Aaron. Here's Levi, here's his sons, here's his sons, here's his sons. Oh, and look, this guy had two sons, Moses and Aaron. Oh, and by the way, here are Aaron's sons. These are the very same ones. Those very same Moses and Aaron that God would use to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. This is a true story. A true genealogy. We could hang our hat on it. Right? This is not mythology 101. This is true history. So what's the best verse to summarize all of this? Well, I would underline verse 27. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. And I'm going to tell you not just any Mosea, any Aaron, but I'm going to tell you exactly which Moses and Aaron really did do this. There's a whole bunch that we can get into here, right? We can talk about little nuances of stuff. I don't want to do that with you. Stuff that's just rabbit trail is interesting to me, but we'll save that for another time. The question is, what impact does this have in our life? Well, I'd like to submit to you the fact that you could trust the scriptures, that God's word is true, that he gave us these words, and he's bidding us, trust me, I really did make this covenant. Trust me, I really did redeem my people. Trust me, Moses and Aaron were real. I'll give you the genealogy. I'll show the birth certificates. Right? These aren't made up figures in a child's story tale. But we can trust the Lord. We can go to his word. And we can learn of a God who redeems his people. Not a God who's a figment of some writer's imagination, but a God who really did bring the king of the most powerful nation of the day, Egypt, to his knees. And he did it by a man who married his aunt. Something that would be against the law later. He did it by a real guy who didn't want to do it with uncircumcised lips and a brother who would have two children wiped out because of treating this God as unholy. We can trust God that these words are true. Do you trust him? Do you trust in his scriptures? I'm going to ask you today, if you're on social media and you're watching this, or if you're on the website and you're watching this, feel free to actually type in the comments, "I trust the Bible." Right, this is one of these fun points at which we can say it might be hard to pronounce these names, but it shows me that I can trust in the Bible. So I'm going to encourage you, just type in the comment there, "I trust the Bible." Right? Why? Because it's the very word of God, the only rule for faith and life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have not given us mythological stories, fairy tales that we hope to believe, but you have given us true history. Because you are a real God, not a figment of someone's imagination. You truly did redeem your people out of Egypt, and you have redeemed us from sin and death by the blood of Jesus Christ. And just as we can trust that Moses and Aaron were real, so we can also trust that you sent your only begotten Son. And Father, we pray that we would trust in him and believe in his resurrection, and that we might also be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may God bless you. May you cling to the historical truth of who God is and the great plans he has for you. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.